Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website, c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
I am so excited to preach to you about the Holy Spirit. Oh man, I love the Holy Spirit. And around here, we don't patronize the Holy Spirit. I mean, it can feel kind of awkward. You know, who is the Holy Spirit? Because we can't see him. But he is a person. He's not a mist, not a cloud. He's a person. And he was sent by Jesus. Have you heard of Jesus? Ghost stories. What's your Holy Spirit story? Because we want you to know Jesus and the Holy Spirit for yourself. You with me, church? Not through someone else, but for you personally. And Jesus went, but he sent the Holy Spirit. He said this, it's good, guys. He said, it's good that I go so I can send the helper. Do you know that Jesus, I mean, what Moses would do to be alive in the age of the Holy Spirit. What Abraham would give to be alive in the era where the Holy Spirit is occupying our lives. What he would do to be in the middle of the move of God. Because they had Jesus, but they were limited to Jesus in his flesh. Jesus said, it's good that I go so you don't just have to hold my hand, but I can live in your heart. The Holy Spirit is here to occupy and make residence in your heart. So that you don't have to just see Jesus once in the day and then say goodbye, that you could be at the dinner table and have the Holy Spirit living in you. That you could be in the middle of a business deal and talk to the Holy Spirit right there. That you could be in the middle of an argument. Hello, come on Zoom. Don't act like you haven't been there. That you could be in the middle of a tough situation and not have to go somewhere to get God, that he can be with you right where you are. This is the gift of the Holy Spirit. We live in the age of the Holy Ghost. People talk about Harry Potter and they talk about all sorts of weird spiritual things. And around here, we're going to talk about the Spirit, the one Spirit that comes from God, the Holy Spirit that has life and peace. He's like a river in your soul. The Spirit of God will set you free where you are. Thank you, Jesus. So have you ever wondered, like, what is Jesus doing right now? You know, like, is he just on the beach in heaven, hanging out, drinking pina coladas? You know, that would be inappropriate. I'm sorry. But if you know what I mean? If he was just having a holiday, you know, what's he doing? Is he playing golf? Like, who likes golf? Come on. Pray for you guys. We need more people that like golf. I suck at golf, but I love it. Not like cricket. I suck at it and I don't like it. But if we were in heaven, like what's Jesus doing? Well, the thing is, Jesus is actually doing something. It's not like he's sitting around doing nothing. He died. He defeated death. You know that, right? Here's the amazing thing. Jesus didn't avoid death. He went through it. And so Jesus is now seated at the right hand of the Father, ruling the universe. It says that he has all authority in heaven and on earth. Not some, not a little. Come on, church, say it with me, all. He is ruling the universe. And if he is ruling the universe, why do bad things happen? Why? What is the framework of his rulership in the universe? The framework, the blueprint of the way he rules the universe is through the cross. The cross is the blueprint through which he leads and rules the universe. Romans 8 verse 28. All things work together for good for those who love God and according to his purpose. This is the framework that we live in because of the gospel. Jesus rules through making even the bad things, he makes them good. Even the tough things, he uses them for good. If he can make death that looked like a dead end into a doorway, if he can make death the road to salvation, if he can make the worst day actually the greatest day in history, Come on, church, he can make all things work together for good. This is the framework we live in. Yes, there is trouble in this world, but do not be afraid, he said. Jesus said, I have overcome this world. You will have trouble, but do not be afraid of it. I will use it for good. The other thing Jesus is busy doing is he is in the court of heaven. You know a courtroom? God the Father is the righteous, just judge. And he stands there, and there is Jesus, and there is the accuser of the brethren. Satan, that sneaky little serpent sucker. And he comes in and he says, oh God, did you hear about what Alex did? Did you hear about, oh, he's a sinner, he's bad. And Jesus comes before the Father and he says, God, after he kicks the devil in the face, God, listen, I am not asking for mercy. I am not asking you to ignore Alex's sin. I am asking for justice, not mercy. He says, it is unjust to charge this man for sin twice. Sin cannot be paid for twice. It was paid for with finality by Jesus. And so he says, God, you can't make him pay for something that I already paid for. I already paid for it in full. You cannot charge this to his account twice. I already covered his bill. You been to dinner before? Wow. You know dinner? D-I-N-N-E-R. You eat food. If you've been to a restaurant, someone pays your bill. That bill cannot be paid for twice. There is no need to pay for your food twice. Once it's paid for, it's done. And so Jesus says, God, you cannot charge him twice. You must do the just thing and receive my payment as the perfect sacrifice. Jesus is not doing nothing. He is fighting for you. He is arguing, and I'm thankful for good lawyers, you know? Any lawyers in here? Good lawyers are awesome, but I'm grateful to God that you're not our lawyer. I'm grateful that Jesus is our lawyer. I'm thankful that I'm not up there arguing my case. I've got an advocate called Jesus in the courtroom arguing my case every day of the week. And all I got to do is repent. All I got to do is put my life in Christ. If I can't do that, I do not have the advocacy that comes from Jesus as my lawyer. But if I do, and I might need to do it 20 times a day, but when you do, when you repent, when you turn from sin, when you say, sorry, Lord, I need you, Jesus, immediately you have the blood, you have the power, and you have the advocate fighting for you in the courtroom of heaven. And so Jesus is seated there, positioned there, and now on the earth we have the Holy Spirit. And so what is the Holy Spirit doing? The Holy Spirit is leading us. He's a really good guide. The question is, are you a good follower? We read that the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. We read that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of liberty, that he leads us into freedom. We read in Galatians 5 that the Holy Spirit leads us away from our flesh, that the Holy Spirit leads us into fruitful living. He is really good at it. He's the best. He's a good shepherd. He knows how to guide you. The question is, are you good at following? Are you following the Holy Spirit? Are you giving him the time of day? Are you aware of him? He wants you to be free. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You know, my dad, I probably told you this before, but my dad owned a chemist, Lee's Chemist. And he was, you know, a legal drug dealer, you know. And he would be giving out Panadol and jelly beans and Codral, you know, whatever. And I remember I would walk into my dad's pharmacy free, and everything was free. And I would take things off the shelves. I didn't know what they were. I don't know what ibuprofen is, but I just thought it sounded cool. And so I didn't take it. I didn't have any. I just would take stuff. And I walk into that chemist, and I walk right up in the middle, and I just act like I owned the place, walk around, and people would be, who's this kid pushing into the queue? And I would say, you know what? If you got a problem with me, talk to my 6'4" dad. I'm his son. So I'm free. No inhibitions, bold, courageous, don't care 2 cents what you think of me. My dad owns this shop. So I belong here. It's his shop. That means it's my shop. He owns all this stuff. That means I own all this stuff. It's mine. And this is the life that the Holy Spirit lives in us for you to become, to be free, to have no inhibitions. Paul said, don't be drunk with wine, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Yeah, do you know, if you see a drunk person, when they're drunk, they're stupid and they're generous. They say dumb things and they do dumb things, and you get filled with alcohol to escape reality. But when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you discover reality. Woo! You discover that you are a child of God, born to be free, born to be confident, born to be secure, born to live well, born to live above, not beneath. The Holy Spirit makes you smart, makes you connective, makes you empowered, makes you kind. Man, when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, He wants to lead you into freedom. He will lead you away from your flesh. In Galatians 5 verse 16, it says, but I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Are you trying too hard to not do things? Don't think that. Don't look at that. Don't go there. Don't touch that. Don't drink. I got a knot. If that is where you are living in your Christianity, you need a new living room. Striving, struggling, trying, white knuckling your way through a religious expectation that is not of the Spirit. We live by the Spirit. We do not live by the law. Jesus fulfilled the law. Therefore, the requirements of the law are fulfilled in us for those that are in Him. So because of Jesus, I am no longer living by the law. It is no longer about 10 rules and 5 poems about what to do to live according to the law. Now the law is written in my heart because the Holy Spirit lives in me. And He is my guide, guiding me, saying yes, no, don't go there, don't do that. He guides me relationally because He wants to lead me into truth. And when you are led into truth, you are led into freedom. The truth will set you free. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, leading us into freedom. So the quest is not to not do. The quest is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The pursuit is to focus on walking with the Holy Spirit. And when you do, He will lead you away from your flesh. Those desires, lust, pride, judgment, He will lead you away from it if He lives in you. If you focus on being filled, you won't want to desire the things of your flesh. You want to live by the Spirit. This is the call of the New Testament. This is the call of Pentecost, that we live by the Spirit. So, if we live by the Spirit, we must stay in step with the Spirit. Go to Galatians 5, down the bottom here. Verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Verse 25, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Keep in step. Keep in step. So I know now that I don't live by the law, I live by the Holy Spirit. We are in the age of the Holy Spirit. But now the key to living according to the fruitfulness that God has for us, the key to good relationships, listen, the Holy Spirit isn't just here to give you a tingle. Ooh, ooh, the Holy Spirit, ooh. That's great, but that's not the only purpose. In Acts 1 verse 8, we read that you will be filled with power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, that you may be my witnesses. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, it changes the way you relate. The fruit of the Spirit is kindness, joy, peace, patience, self-control. One of the greatest signs that you are filled with the Holy Spirit is that you love other people. Are you rude? Are you a rude person? Not in our church. Here, you might have a bit of an edge. I know I do, especially in traffic. You might be choleric. You might be... That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that that's wrong. But I am saying that there is a spirit that would lead you into a lifestyle of fruitfulness. And fruitfulness is not just numbers. Fruitfulness is quality. How do you live? Do you know that the way you live is sending a message to people about Jesus? You are a witness every day of your life. So let it be that you are not just a witness on Sunday and rude on Monday. Really kind, nice Christian on Sunday, but a jerk on Tuesday. Too real? Come on, church. This is why we're here, to let the Spirit of God transform us. Bold and confident on Sunday, but a worried, doubtful mess on Wednesday. You need the Spirit of God every day. You got challenges in your marriage? You need the Holy Spirit. Challenges with your children? You need the Holy Spirit. He will help you relate. Do you have a teenager that talks back to you all the time and you need a lot of patience? I don't yet, I'm sure I will. 6 weeks to go and we got a baby boy. And my poor wife, this kid is trying to punch his way out of the womb. Pray for us. You got some real stuff in your life? It's hard? Get filled with the Holy Spirit. Walk in step with the Spirit. So what does it mean to walk in step? It means two things. You ready? Last two thoughts and then we're done. And then we're all going to fill this altar and we're going to lay hands. We're going to pray for you that you would be baptized and filled afresh with the power of the Holy Spirit here today. Two things to remember. To stay in step with the Spirit, I need to be humble enough to stay behind. Hungry enough to keep up. Humble enough to stay behind him. Are you running off doing things that the Holy Spirit actually isn't leading you to do? Are you trying to be the Savior when that is not your job? Be humble. We're told by Peter that God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Pride, the only thing that will stop you from being in step with the Holy Spirit is pride. Too proud. Do you have pride in your life? Let it go, man. Let it go. The only thing you're going to lose is your pride. And your pride is not helping you anyway. Let's let it go. Don't be too proud for the Holy Spirit. Don't be too proud to pray and ask God. Don't be too proud to submit under His leadership. Are you too proud? Let's be a humble church. servants, staying behind the Holy Spirit, asking Him, needing Him, admitting our need for the Holy Spirit. Second thing is hunger. Have we gotten too familiar? Are we lagging behind because we've lost our hunger? Are we stagnant? Are we stuck? Matthew 5 verse 6 says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Luke 11 verse 9 to 13 says, "And I tell you," Jesus speaking, "ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. If you are in neutral, you are not going forwards. Neutral, by default, goes backwards. Are you drifting through your Christianity, wondering why there's no forward momentum? Neutral does not help you follow. Well, you know, we'll see how church goes today. Just get there when we get there. Do our best. See how the preacher is. See who it is. See what's happening. Wake up and I pray. Oh, you know, I'll see if God hears my prayer today. I don't know. Read my Bible. Yeah, we'll see if it works today. Just neutral. Neutral. Neutral is not the call of God for your life. And listen to me. It is not the atmosphere of heaven, and therefore it will not be the atmosphere of C3SYD. We are a humble and hungry church, and we will always be humble enough to stay behind God, hungry enough to keep up. He says in Revelations, a letter to the churches, "I know your works," verse 15, Revelations 3. "I know your works," God says, "that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." Woo! Wow. Is anyone like lukewarm tea? Come on Zoom, you having a tea today? Anybody? There's a reason. My wife loves it. Pastor Jessen loves lukewarm tea. Pray for her. You know, like in between. We are never going to be an in-between church. Oh, you know, I guess we'll just glide on through. No, we are hungry for God. We come to church every Sunday hungry for God. When you wake up and pray, you wake up hungry for God. And if you are hungry, you will be filled. If you aren't hungry, you won't be filled. There is nothing wrong with the Word of God. The question is, how is the soil? The question is, how's the heart? Are you receptive? Are you hungry? Because if you are, you will get more than enough. I don't want what we had yesterday. I want more. God bless Pastor Phil and Pastor Chris. They are incredible, but it would be a dishonor to Him if we just maintained what they've done. If we just said, yeah, we're just going to neutral our way through. We're just going to glide on the tails of what everybody else did. No, we are hungry for more. Hungry for the Holy Spirit. Hungry for fire. Hungry for the anointing. Hungry for teenagers to unlock the call of God. Hungry for new preachers, new worship leaders, new people rising up. Hungry to leave a mark on this city. Hungry to destroy the works of the devil and bring the power of Christ into a lost and broken city. We're hungry. Do you need a fresh touch from God? Get hungry today and watch what He can do.
Thanks for listening to the C3SYD podcast. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect with us. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. We look forward to having you back soon.